The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
These are just a few highlights. Living with ghosts. Hello, I'm Wendy, and we're going to do something a little different today. I used to be a DJ, way back when, before I got into news and traffic and all that good stuff. But I had Gary Wimmer play for me one of his pieces, Gary Wimmer, Lithomancy, Psychic. So here it is. We're going to start with that, and then we'll get into ghost stories. Gary Wimmer. Again, Gary Wimmer. My interview with Gary is in the archives. He's the one who had an incredible psychic experience. He was all of a sudden like full-blown psychic. He was telling people what the newspaper said or who was coming in the door. It was an extraordinary experience. He said, make it stop. He got hit by a car. It stopped. Okay, it's his story. I'll let him tell it. Again, Gary Wimmer in the archives. What triggered this, I saw a ghost story. And I also had a ghost experience recently. Back in 1997, when I first had my nightlight encounter, and that's when the nightlight started blinking and flickering and doing all sorts of things that it shouldn't have been doing. Technically, it was an automatic nightlight, but it was activated without any kind of sunlight disappearing, whatever, it did it on its own. So I'd learned a channel, and this is condensing this because there's more to this story. But at that point, then I became more aware of my spirit guides, and things just changed. And so it's called a spiritually transformative event or experience. And I learned a whole lot about the metaphysics of these kinds of things, and it triggered much more psychic activity and awareness for me. And that's since 1997. I wrote about it in 1998, published something about 2001, and then again in 2007. So just been writing about it, basically. And I did some exhibitions, some channeling in public for audiences just to kind of get a feel for it. And the audience energy is really interesting. That amplifies whenever you're doing an event. The audience energy brings its own element, and it makes a very big difference when people are invested, interested, curious, and they show up. So that's why when you see mediums, a lot of times the energy of that event will determine the ability of the medium to become engaged, connect with more people, and so on. So anyway, the ghost story, I'll tell you about in a minute. My ghost story happened a couple of weeks ago. I was vacuuming, and my husband Andy had been out doing some errands, and so I'm just not really thinking about much. Anyway, I thought he came home because I saw him walk from the kitchen to the back room, and I thought he was in a hurry because he didn't look at me, and he seemed to be walking fast. So I kept vacuuming and figured I'd catch up with him as soon as I was done vacuuming. Except, technically, when he walked to the back room, he shouldn't have continued. He would have come back out. And I didn't see him come out, so I thought, well, So I was curious, and I shut off the vacuum. I called to him to see what was going on. What did he find out? And I went back to the room. At this point, I'm thinking, no, that wasn't him. Was it somebody else? What? I was curious. So I went back to the room, called his name, no response. And at this point, I'm thinking there probably won't be a response. Check the room. Nope, he isn't there. And then I realized, as I'm rethinking this, replaying this scenario in my mind, the person I saw was a little bit taller, a slimmer. He had, I think, a long sleeve shirt and pants, not denim. But I had to kind of reconnect and remember, what the heck did I see? And his hair was different. I didn't see his face. It was like I could see him, but I couldn't see specific details. So, and it was so fast. The thing that really caught my attention was the fact, usually if he were to come into the house, even if I'm vacuuming or doing something, he'll let me know that he's there. And this time, it was like this was a very quick, from one room to the next, almost thinking that I wasn't going to see him. And then I remembered that I had done earlier something had been waking me up at night, and the dog was barking at nothing, which is usually a clue. I mean, yeah, sometimes they'll bark because there are dog sounds outside or something else is going on. But this was when the dog was barking at a specific area of the room. And usually that's a clue that we have visitors of some sort. So I knew that. And I said, who are you? Why are you here? What do you want? Because these things have happened before. And the answer was, he gave me a name, and he said he'd lived in this house previously. Now, I don't always take that at face value, because it may be, and this is an older house, it may be that he was in this space or in this area in another dimension at a different time. Yeah, I know, I go there. So if I don't find a specific indicator that this person and this name relates, it doesn't mean it isn't true. It just means that I'm not connected, or that it's just an answer that will make me happy. It's like, okay, you've given me permission since you didn't question that. So anyway, but I do remember that. And so then I have, after having that conversation, then here is this entity running or walking fast through the house that I see. And so I think the two were connected. Where it goes from here, I really am not too concerned about that, knowing that, okay, it's just another part of my experience. When I first started connecting with ghosts, and channeling, I said, I don't want to see dead people. No, 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 don't want to see dead people. And the answer from my guides was, they're not dead, they're energy. And it was, you know, I could hear them laughing, chuckling, like, you know, you poor dear. And so that was also interesting. They just were, you know, trying to let me know that it's okay, you'll be fine, they're not going to hurt you. Now, In addition to that, though, there can be other complications when a ghost, an entity, an energy, previously alive in a human form, decides to get your attention in an unconventional way. I did not believe in exorcism. I did not believe in possession. And it was just because I'd had no experience with it. Well, okay, I've had experience now. And I've had a lot of experiences. This one was the one that really caught my attention. I had been unable to sleep. I kept waking up kind of choking. My throat would seize up, and I was thinking, I was forgetting how to breathe at night. And that doesn't make any sense. But I'm trying to be logical about this. And I was waking myself up kind of choking. So I elevated my pillow, and I tried to do a different position, sleep just a little like sitting up rather than laying all the way down, thinking, okay, this will fix it. Huh. No, it didn't fix it. Then I had my leg outside the cover, and something almost like a thumb touched my toe and bent it over. Okay. Well, I decided I would put my feet under the covers. I didn't need to do that. Okay, that's a clue. Then I would hear chimes, like one or two little chimes. Well, the thing that finally got my attention full on was when I woke up and I was kind of making noises, sounds. And as I'm halfway asleep, halfway awake, I'm thinking, that sounds like a ghost. That's what a ghost would sound like. And then it dawned on me. Someone was trying to get my attention. Doing a little research on this, the house, the property, my husband at the time and I were investing in property, rehab property. This was a duplex. And this was a wonderful deal. We got it under market value. And they were living in the country. Now it was too far for them to come in to take care of it. Okay. We had it rented out to somebody in the next unit, and everything was fine. But something was off with this, definitely haunted. Find out later from the neighbor, oh, yeah, that's the guy who committed suicide. He lived in your house. Then a lot of things started to make sense, because there had also been some things where when my husband left the house and I was alone, I was either upstairs or in the back room. I came out in the living room, and there was a little unit for the stereo with glass, and it had magnet openings so you could, you know, push it in and it released. I came out into the room and saw that it had been opened. Each little window was open, equidistant. They were both, somebody had opened them. And I called my husband and asked if he had come home, thinking I hadn't heard him. It didn't make any sense, but I had to figure out, okay, is there a possibility he would have come in and I somehow didn't hear him and didn't notice? No. We went on vacation, and my cat, who I had being watched over by a friend, spent most of that time, because I could tell by the amount of hair, in between the levels. It's a split level. And the cat was on the stairway in that space. That isn't the normal spot for the cat. And all this white hair. So the cat was incredibly stressed. I felt bad about that. Didn't know at the time that was what it was about. So long story short, finally I decide, I ask, what's going on? A shelf fell on me too. Didn't hurt. It hit my head. This whole level of four or five shelves that was full of books and one expensive antique pickle jar belonging to my husband's relative. So it was an antique heirloom. It didn't break. It, of all the things on there, nothing broke. It just hit my head. And it was basically a way of saying, wake up. I didn't know at that point that I could actually do anything. I was experiencing more psychic stuff and picking up on other people with that, but I didn't realize I could really connect with the deceased the way that I did. So when this happened, I got from him that Well, for one thing, he didn't like my housekeeping. Apparently, he was obsessive compulsive, and everything, like the closet, the hangers, everything would be like an inch between. That's not me. So there were some little things that were annoying because technically, I was in his space. He had not moved on. And when I think back about how these things happened and what transpired, it took 2 or 3 years before I was actually able to full on address that this person, this non-physical person, was still in my space because he moved with me to another house. And at that point, there was an issue with a fish tank and it collapsed. It doesn't, no, nothing about that made sense. Anyway, the fish tank collapsed. I would smell dead fish in the kitchen. A fishing expedition? So I finally sat down and asked for help and asked if he could leave. And he was, no, he couldn't. He was really mad at me because I was ignoring him. Well, I wasn't intentionally ignoring him. He just doesn't exist in my reality. So what is there to ignore? I asked for help. I asked for his people to come get him. And I said, don't you know anybody? No. Relatives? No. Okay. So, well, okay, fine. Then my guides are going to help your people find you. And that's what happened. And the thing is, the entities that came to get him, there was this incredible feeling, a sense of love. And it was just very, I can't describe it, but it was like being enveloped. He was still angry. But that was his personality. So he was kicking and screaming, about how I just was completely unaware and not helpful and blah 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 blah. Okay, well, I figured that's what he was probably like earlier, so there's hadn't changed anything. And they were really nice and said thank you. And that was it. So they thanked me. He just went on his merry way. But this is the kind of stuff you run into when you are intuitive or psychic and you don't know. And it can be overwhelming. It can be confusing because you're trying to figure out, okay, where is this coming from? Am I making it up? Am I projecting? Am I imagining? And all I can say is it's taken me decades, all right, to really become more connected on many levels because I haven't studied with anybody to find out how to do it from their perspective. I have worked on finding out how it works for me. And I had spirit guides from day one. And they've walked me through this. They've talked me through this. They've given me information that's been incredibly helpful. I've been able to corroborate it to make sure I'm walking my talk and learning as I go. So with that, the little ghost story that I saw recently posted had to do with there are a lot of different forums where people post their personal experiences, and this was from a forum. And I just was remembering my own experiences, the one with the ghost most recently in the house. And I've had others as I've dealt with people who have lost relatives and wanted to make connections. But because sometimes those relatives, those people will show up for me, and I know, okay, somebody's coming. This isn't mine. This is about somebody else. Okay, so with that, there's just so much to, I guess, learn. And the guides, like I said, they're not dead, they're energy. And so the dreams also make a difference where you have a connection with someone on the dream plane, and then that manifests in the daytime. So this little post on the forum had to do with a woman who said she was at a cemetery with her parents when she saw a little girl about her age, a little blonde girl, and the girl was looking at her from across the cemetery, and so she went over to see her. But she didn't find her. She wasn't there. And her parents, wondering why she ran off, followed her. And she said, well, I need to go check this out. And then she wanted basically to show her parents this little girl that she had found who was there. And she wasn't there. So she went to where the girl she had seen her standing. And there was a cemetery headstone with a picture of the child that she saw. And so as she was writing, she was saying that that girl also had the same birth date that she had, the same age. And so just one of those little innocuous happenings, coincidental? I don't think so. I think some of these are basically are for us to realize we have more abilities than we have put into use and to help us wake up. There are a lot more experiences that people are sharing now in terms of channeling or mediumship, and there's a fantastic display of a medium who is a trans medium, physical trans medium. What she does is physical mediumship, I guess I should say. When she channels, and it's very quick, she makes a connection where it's very quick, she goes into her connection with her spirit guide, Jonathan. And there is a very obvious difference between her voice and the voice of Jonathan. And so when she talks, you can definitely tell a little personality change, a voice change. And I happen to catch that, of course, no coincidence, right? Elaine Thorpe, transmedium, and she's the Britain's best channel. That's what they're titling her on the Jeff Mara podcast. I posted that on my website, Talking to Night Lights WordPress. So I posted that so you could see physical mediumship. And that's one of the things I think Stuart, I can't remember, darn. Leslie Kane, I interviewed her about her book on surviving death, I think is a heading for that. And that's in the archives too. But she was in contact with one person who was a physical medium, and he's absolutely astounding. That information is posted on her website, and there's a lot more information related to surviving death, the book, and the mediums that she met and then followed along and continues to follow in some cases. So some of this stuff is just ongoing. You learn as you go. Every encounter is unique. I've had information given to me, and it was like, is this something that I am supposed to pass on? Because in a way, you're looking into somebody else's personal connection and their personal relationship. So are you violating their privacy? So I've asked permission in some cases when the information comes to me. And if it's not okay, I shut it down. It's not my information, so it isn't important for me to know. But if there's someone who is curious and asking and wanting help, that's a different story. So I can understand how Gary felt when all of a sudden he was just getting this explosion of information from that psychic realm and saying, this is too much. I don't need all this. It isn't mine. And that's sometimes it'll happen with a Kundalini awakening. And as I began to get more grounded in my ability to channel, I went to, on a regular basis for 10 years, a massage therapist. And during that time, I connected with a past life where I have a scar, and that scar is related to a past life memory. And I didn't know that until my body is reacting as I'm getting the massage, and I'm bringing up this imagery of a past life. But it was important to me to work on my vibration and work on my own ability to hold the channel steady, to be open and not drag my baggage into it. Everyone does this differently. But in doing the shows that I do, I connect with other people who all sorts of interesting things. And it isn't that I am doing the same thing that they're doing. It's I'm curious about how they do what they do and what their connections are. I love the information that Ingo Swann has left because he's very tuned in to some of these psychic abilities that basically question the things that we consider reality. And some of that non-human intelligence is one of the terms that they use now. And whether that is ET, whether it's transdimensional, whether it's Bigfoot, whether it's fairies, I've had experiences with fairies from the time I was a kid. And they come to you also in the dream time. But I also had, as a child, I had an imaginary friend, real to me. But my mom told me, and this is what helped me to set that memory, that when I was about four and a half, prior to going to school and becoming then immersed in the socialization process, that I told her, we were in the car, and I looked at her and I told her, Hago flew out the window. That was my name for my friend. Hago flew out the window. And I never talked about Hago again. It was over. But until that time, I had been very open about my friendship and she allowed me to talk about that, didn't discourage it, didn't try to, she wasn't afraid of it.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Later on, I decided to ask, what did Hago look like? And the vision, it was a very, very well thought out designed vision. I'm in a cabin, and in this cabin, there's a window at the front, and I see a robin land at the window, and I know that's my cue to go out in the backyard. As I go out in the backyard, along the fence line, it's a kind of a, like a hill rise, and this is out in the country. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful area, very serene, very pastoral. And I see a little man riding a fox. The little man is looking at me with a big grin. He has a stovepipe hat that's short, not a tall one, a short, it's a box kind of shaped, and tan. What he's wearing, almost the cloth is more like a burlap bag cloth, muslin maybe, something like that. And it's also tan. He has a jacket. He has dingo boots. And his face is a dark brown with deep lines and like he's tan and weathered. And he's smiling at me. And I realize, this is my friend Hago. So he's giving me a picture. Now, when I have the image of him disappearing in the car, it's like it goes into a green mist. So my interpretation of that is he's a nature spirit, but there's also that gnome element that goes with that. So then when the fairies came in later on, and this is, I'm in my 30s, I think. 30s, yeah. And I'm older now, backing up, in the yard gardening. And this is a really interesting time because at one point a hummingbird, I was watering the lawn and a hummingbird came up and just as I'm watering, flew through the water, the streaming water, taking a bath. It was the most extraordinary experience. I've seen where other people have had those experiences too, but it's so fun when it happens to you. So I just, you know, kept letting the water, it's like as long as a hummingbird wanted to stay there, I'm going to keep watering the yard. So flies in and out for a while and then leaves. But as I'm out in the yard, I'm weeding, and I can see the clouds in the sky. It looks like there's a potential for some rain, but it isn't cloudy. As a matter of fact, like one on the south, it's pretty clear. In the north, there's a few clouds, and they look like they might have a little rain in them, but it's not like it wouldn't last very long. But as I'm weeding, I start to hear a chant or singing, and it's not coming from the street or radio or anything like that. I'm in the city, but there's nothing that sounds like this. It's little voices, almost like, you know, the helium voice. And they're little voices. And I can't see them, but I hear them. And they're singing, chanting, Mother, bring the rain. that we might drink. Mother, bring the rain that we might drink. I was just astounded. And then the clouds that had been just to the north of the yard moved south for a few moments, and there were sprinkles. And then the music stopped, or the chanting stopped. I never saw them. But that also blew me away, because how was that happening? What was going on? And what reality were they in? Because I was able to hear them, I couldn't see them. And they shifted my reality, because then I got sprinkles. And then they were happy with that. They didn't want a lot. That was it. So were they demonstrating to me how to bring rain? Or were they just in their own little world, their dimension, and this I was allowed to see? Another time I was walking the dog in my 40s. I'm walking the dog. I know, because the neighborhood I'm in, about the age. I'm walking the dog, and a normal walk we take all the time. There happens to be what I call a wishing well. It's a little park-like area, and this seems to be a time of day when no one is out, midday, but there are no cars that go by, nobody walking, I don't hear any noises, and I had to really go back and rethink what was going on. And that's the thing that stood out, was there weren't any background noises, and my dog did not see this. So she's part German Shepherd, and we were walking by, and I'm looking at a giant tree. I'm probably 30 or 40 feet, and I'm watching. I can't count how many squirrels are running across the street, down that tree from the top, and across the street over to the wishing well and down the well. Now that was, I still don't know how to explain it, but it was all these squirrels, and I was trying to count as fast as I could. I will tell you, when that happens and you're totally unprepared, your mind is first trying to say, what's happening? And it's like things are frozen, and it's slow motion, because you don't know what to think first. It's like when a UFO was in my bedroom. It's so unexpected, outside of the norm, that it's very difficult to stay focused in a linear way because of the shock and the just complete unreality of it. So the thing is, I don't know if what I saw were squirrels. I don't know if this was a screen memory, if something else happened that I was unable to fathom. And so that's the image that stayed with me. And but I can't go back and count how many squirrels. I just know there were more squirrels coming down that tree than I had the ability to count. And then going across the street, they were rushing by. And I know, trying to explain that, how unreal it sounds. But these kinds of things have happened to me ever since I started that connection with the nightlight. And that was in 1997 when it started doing all of these amazing things. And I realized that some people just don't see it, because it's a normal thing. It's a blinking light. What would be unusual about it? Well, the unusual thing is a particular nightlight that I have now has been doing this for 20-some years. And I had one before, did the same thing. And I think the average shelf life for them is not that long. Especially, I had a couple more that blinked out. And we replaced the bulb in one of them, and it's taken it about 5 years before it has given me a hint that it can also do with the one of my current fixture that I posted videos on YouTube that it does. And it's not about the light. However, at the beginning, it was really amazing to see, because it would blink and flicker, and I just couldn't believe, again, what I was seeing. But it's the entity that allows this to happen and that is connected that gives me a visual sign, all the while saying, don't get hooked on the visual. This is just an indication of presence, and it has its own way of being. So when I was invited or asked to be part of a documentary, I said, no, it's not a dog and pony show. And somebody else had that same kind of a description, it's not a dog and pony show. These things are personal, and I talk about it, and I have demonstrated it to people, and I put the video on YouTube and all that. But it's not about attracting, you know, hundreds of thousands. It's about this relates to you on your level, where you are, if you are open, if you are receptive, and that's all there is to it. So it's one-on-one, and that's what I like about it, and also what's frustrating. I try to demonstrate this in person at the home of someone who was a psychiatrist. Okay. It didn't go over well. Well, I forgot in one of the things that I have been taught is that asking permission and that a skeptic will shut things down. That's because they are a skeptic. Technically, that's the law reacting to their expectation. And I thought, well, why isn't mine working? I took it to her house, plugged it in, and it stayed on. Now, technically, it goes off and on and off and on, or it stays off. But at her house, it was just a regular old nightlight. And she was also with a person that I had been doing, interviewed and done a show with, and I had just demonstrated this at a facility where there were lots of people. Well, the thing is, the believers outnumbered the skeptics, or the open-minded people outnumbered the skeptics. And then when I went to her house, I could feel from her the disdain and the almost like a sense of feeling sorry for me because I was deluded. Well, I've been deluded for over, I guess it's 27 years now in December, because these things happen and I've been able to demonstrate them to other people. I just couldn't do it in her house. But it was a big lesson. It was a very big lesson to understand that there are people. And then when I read Ingo Swann's book about talking, referring to people who are skeptics, that they will shut down. If you are doing an experiment that involves PSI, psychic, intuitive, telepathy, one person who comes in and says, can just upheave the whole thing. And recently I did an interview with, and this is for the Crystal Mine in Mena, Arkansas, where they have Bigfoot, Sasquatch, paranormal, UFO, a lot of different activities that are happening there, interdimensional. And what happened was at one of their events, Cheryl and Orville Murphy take events, people go on tours to experience some of these things. Anyway, on one of their events, they were watching a ball being tossed back and forth, back and forth. They couldn't see who was tossing the ball back and forth in front of the stage, back and forth. Someone in their group said, "Oh, that's fake. They're faking it," something like that, and it stopped. That was the end of it. One person. And that's all it took. So there's a difference between gullibility and discernment. So when these things happen, if you can remain neutral, not put a judgment on it, then you might be allowed to see more. But the minute the judgment enters, and that can sometimes be too invested in it, wanting to make it happen and clinging to it versus the allowing it to be what it is. And that's what I've had to learn with the nightlights. Again, not a dog and pony show, which is why I didn't want to put it under the scrutiny of five or six people who were going to show up with their cameras and maybe receptive and maybe not, because it's, in my way of thinking, exploitation of this interaction. And, you know, I wish it could be different, but I understand it for what it is. And it's saying that what we have in our own personal interaction with spirit, with these interdimensionals, non-corporeals, is how we build character personally. It isn't how we influence or convince anyone else. It's about how we determine how reality works for us. And watching other people demonstrate their own unique abilities, like finding out more when I went to the Mena, Arkansas crystal mine, expecting nothing more than crystals, and had a paranormal event overnight when we stayed on site, where there was a bookshelf in the room when we lay down to go to sleep. In the morning, that bookshelf was gone. And my husband and I are like, did you move it? Did you put it in the bathroom? Did you do something with it? It didn't have any books on it. It was empty. And it wasn't there. So we're both scratching our heads over that. That was kind of the introduction. And then we learned, as we're taken around and shown things, that there's a, I think, 3 foot in diameter log up about 20 feet high in a tree. And we're informed, oh yeah, that's what happened overnight, see? And it wasn't just for us, it's for everybody there. But it was okay. And then that's when the Sasquatch kind of entered my reality, when I was able to hear telepathically thoughts. So this is ongoing. And it started with this little innocuous encounter with a nightlight, and I had to learn to channel. And the ghost experiences continued from then. And the thing is, that opened my mind to the actual presence and the potential for encounters with other beings. There's one more that happened I'll share and then get out of this. But I was told that I was supposed to go from point A to point B. I'm just keeping this real general. Point A to point B. And I had a basic guideline of, if I saw a white car, then that meant things were okay. If I saw a dark car, then I needed to stop and look both directions, or, you know, just be more, that meant it wasn't the right time to move. So I followed this instruction. But on the way, and I was supposed to take a circuitous route, on the way, I deviated, and I decided to take, why, I don't know, a shortcut, because that's what I do. I thought, okay, I'll take a shortcut, not knowing where I am. Like, how do I know this is a shortcut? So I take my shortcut. It goes into an apartment complex. It has one way in and one way out. So we do this little diversion and travel around a pond. And my husband is like, I don't know why you did this. This is not on the game plan. Fortunately, he's with me. So that's another way for me to set my reality, having a witness. Okay, so as we are driving past the pond, we see a group of geese. And the geese are synchronized, swimming in the form of a question mark. And he looks at me and he says, I guess they want to know why you took that detour too. It was bigger than life. How does reality work like that? I don't know how, but it does. So there's that question mark, the geese synchronized in the form, swimming in the form of a question mark. Okay, so I said, and I know to this day, as I continued on the route that I was supposed to be on, if I hadn't done that, I would not have had the experience really understanding how that other element is interconnected with this reality. That what was happening was also either being witnessed or somehow influenced by something else. And we have that all the time. These are just a few highlights. Living with ghosts, I don't have a way to explain all of them and to put a label on all of them. And I think we don't really have all of the accurate labels because we are still evolving and we are learning how our intuitive awareness, our telepathic awareness, our skills for PSI work. And all of us are evolving along with the animals, the plants, everything on the planet, and the planet is evolving as well. That takes it to a different level. But the one thing I would like to just suggest is to keep an open mind. The minute you decide you know it, you shut it down. I am aware of it. I have the ability to understand. I don't know for sure. I understand how it works for me. How it works for you, that's a wild card. I don't know. I can suggest that this might be interesting, helpful, or not. You determine that. But I know we do create our reality with our thoughts, with our beliefs, and with the people we choose to associate and how we allow them to influence. If I had let that psychiatrist, convince me that my reality didn't work, it would have been a huge loss. But that judgment reminded me that each of us is unique. And for her, this was very uncomfortable. It doesn't exist. It doesn't fit in her worldview. And that's okay. So when I have done my demonstration, I have allowed it to be important only to me. If I can do it for me, that's enough. I don't have to make it work. I can allow it to show me how it will work or not. And that's a whole different lifestyle. So, again, that song I played from Gary Wimmer, I was just so thrilled. Because when I asked him, hey, could you do a demonstration? Because I found out he teaches guitar lessons. Now, he's older now. His hands don't work the way they used to. So he couldn't just form one on the spot. He said, here, I'll send you something instead. So he sent me something from his archives. And that was like icing on the cake. Because I love this song. And I continue to play it. And there's something about the song that resonates for me. So I'll share it again. In the archives, I've got several fascinating shows. The one with Gary and Gary Wimmer, psychic, look that up. I also have the one, I recently did an interview with Paul Smith about Project 8200. That's where Pat Price, very, very capable, talented, genius remote viewer, decided in his spare time he was going to remote view the planet to see if there were alien bases. And lo and behold, he found four. This is back in 1973. At the time, they weren't really looking for anything like that. And it was one of those, okay. It got tabled. And so Paul was one of the people who went into that remote viewing session in the 80s and looking for what the description was. He didn't know this. In Pat Price's remote viewing session. So he had the coordinates along with, I think it's six remote viewers, to find out, was there anything to it? They'd already had an indication that there was something to it, because at the time of this event with Pat Price, they made a phone call and asked about, I think it's Mount Zell, I don't know how do you pronounce it, I didn't look that up, I'm sorry. But they made a phone call and asked somebody there on site, is there anything special about this mountain? Is there anything that you can tell us? We're trying to just ask a few more questions. They said, oh yeah, the one where the UFOs fly around? Okay, well, so that let them know, bookmark, let's go revisit this. And so when there was an opportunity to revisit it with other remote viewers, and Pat Price had died by that time, they all had basically similar information that validated. Now, has anything been done since then? No. No. So it's a wonderful question hanging out there now that all of this UFO stuff is back in the headlines saying, they're real. They're not fake. We just weren't ready to talk about it. And we're still not really ready to talk about it. So do your due diligence and find out who, connect with the people who are talking about it and saying, yeah, yeah, they're only saying so much. And here's what we can say. But that's Project 8200. And Paul Smith is the interview in the archives talking about this. And it's just one of those things where we have a lot of questions. We don't have answers, but we are getting more information that says our reality is so much more interesting than what we think. Okay, I'm looking at the top of the list. Paul H. Smith, the basis UAP, UFO basis remote viewed Project 8200. And then the other one, Beams. Orville walked into a portal. Okay, I didn't even get into that. Something to look forward to. Check that out. Here's my favorite song from Gary Wimmer. Stay open stay curious. And one of my favorite things the guides gave me recently when I was trying to figure out how to explain staying open and receptive and just believing all things are possible, they said, a true genie knows how to uncork the bottle. Food for thought. Thanks for listening.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Craftsman days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.